Hey, good morning. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Good to have you there at the other end of the radio waves, and also the telephone line and the email machine and all of those multitudinous methods of communication that we are all so adroit at right now. Have you ever felt more plugged in your life? Every single waking second, and even some seconds that are not waking, you can be in touch with the entire universe. What an age we live in. What a pain in the butt it can be. Hey, before we begin, a reminder that you're always invited to be part of Perspectives by phone and email and Twitter and all of that kind of stuff. 414-1234, the primary phone number in Tallahassee. Long distance, it's 800-926-8809. And Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. Well, I sadly admit I am old enough to recall a time in this country when violence against women was barely considered a crime. It was analogous in many instances to running a stop sign. Well, thankfully, that attitude has changed somewhat here in the United States, but there are sure a lot of places in the world where violence against women is a normal, sometimes even considered a desirable behavior, if you can believe that. So this morning on Perspectives, let's examine the issue with Tallahassee author, educator, speaker, and creative artist Leisha Berry. She's been the local spark plug for participation in next Thursday's $1 billion Rising Worldwide event to call more attention to the scourge of violence against women. Leisha, good to have you on deck here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here. Hey, also joining us this morning is Sarah Sturgis. She's been helping women and girls in the capital city for a long time at places like Refuge House, the Pace Center for Girls, and now the Oasis Center for Women and Girls, where she's a counselor. Hey, Sarah.
Good morning.
So let's see, you had to work with that nasty Meg Baldwin there for a while, too.
Oh, huh? We love Meg Baldwin.
Over at Refuge House. And she also has been just a tireless advocate for women for many, many years. Mm-hmm. We got some great folks in this area, you know, when it comes to any kind of major issues that impact our lives and either positive or, in this case, certainly negative ways. Leisha, let's start with you. This whole thing, I've been watching your Facebook communications now for weeks and weeks and weeks, mm-hmm. about this $1 billion Rising and Dance thingy that's coming up a week from today. Tell us about that.
Sure. $1 billion Rising is a global initiative that was set forth by Eve Ensler, who was the creator and performer of the Vagina Monologues. Yes, I said Vagina Monologues on the air.
Yeah, it's public radio. What do you
mean? And her work has been tireless since then, for 15 years, to bring awareness to violence against women and to demand an end to it. And today, February 14th, Valentine's Day, will be the 15th anniversary of V-Day, which is her organization that is global and to bring awareness to violence against women. And she wanted to do something that the whole world could take part in, and she called it $1 billion Rising. And the reason it's called $1 billion Rising is because one in three women will experience violence in her lifetime, whether physical or sexual or some form of violence, and that's just reported violence. And so the idea is that if we have 1 billion women dance on the planet on February 14th, that is the one in three.
Okay, so here in Tallahassee, what, people will just spontaneously jump up at a certain point in the day on Valentine's Day and bounce around a little bit and then call it a day, or what?
If they want to, they can do that. If they can't make it, but we have an event downtown on February 14th at 12 noon, so we wanted to make it at lunch hour so folks could come out, and hopefully it'll be a beautiful day at Kleeman Plaza. And we are going to have an hour of a few speakers, just a little bit of speaking, but mostly lots of dancing. And I want to read what Eve Ensler said about dancing and why dance. She said, "Dance is dangerous, joyous, sexual, holy, disruptive, contagious. It breaks the rules. It can happen anywhere, anytime, with anyone and everyone, and it's free. Dancing insists we take up space. We go there in community. Dance joins us and pushes us to go further, and that is why it's at the center of $1 billion Rising. It's a celebration. You know, it's absolutely acknowledging the horror of violence against women, but it's taking power back by dancing in our bodies, by celebrating our bodies and celebrating our freedom.
Okay. And I noticed that one of the first things that more oppressive countries might do is to outlaw dance when they take over a particular place. So.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I find dancing to be a very empowering and positive activity. So that's why I immediately thought this is a good fit for me. So I'm thrilled about it.
Okay, so that's going to be a week and, let's see, what, 40 minutes from right
correct,
now.
Correct. Okay. So join us at Cleveland Plaza at noon on Valentine's Day. And then after that, we have 4 days of free workshops and activities for women. The idea being that the event itself may stir some things up for people and that they may want to know how to plug in, or they may have things to process or things they wanted to share. And so we have several creative workshops, insight workshops, self-defense, assertiveness training, all kinds of free workshops for women that weekend.
Okay, and we'll mention the way that folks can connect with the schedule and
yes.
everything here going on. Well, Sarah Sturgis, is your with all the background that you've had here in counseling women and girls when it comes to this, there might be some who are listening think, well, gee, as was mentioned at the outset, we are changing our attitudes somewhat. You know, maybe personally, I don't know any woman who's been abused. You know, my family, we are all gentle people, et cetera, et cetera. It can't be as bad as all that. This is like an international thing. This happens, you know, in the Middle East or, you know, China or someplace.
I think lots of people think that it's not something that happens to people we know. But the reality is that it's happening all around us in all kinds of families. Violence crosses the spectrum of socioeconomic status. It crosses it does cross gender, but it crosses race and all kinds of anything that separates people. Violence is something that everyone experiences.
Okay. You brought some facts and figures there. Just in Leon County, how bad are we looking at as far as the problem goes?
Well, in 2011 in Leon County, there were about 1,600 cases of domestic violence. Forcible rape and stalking were reported to local law enforcement. That was the cases that were reported. We know that violence against women in particular is highly underreported.
Okay. And what are the reasons that, I mean, in this liberated age, you know, someone raises a hand to anyone, you know, a man, woman, it's almost fait accompli that, well, doggone, you know, I'm going to take your butt to court because, you know, how dare you, you know, try to hit me or do anything like that.
I don't think that all women think that way. You know, you talk about it being a liberated age, but really women are often socialized not to respond that way. You know, women are socialized to be more quiet, to step back, to let other people make decisions for us sometimes. And not all women feel strong enough to be able to do that. There's also so many other things to consider. If the person being violent against you is someone that you're married to or have children with, there are issues regarding money. And if I leave this relationship or take this person to court, then what will happen to me financially? What will happen to my children? What will other people think of us? Those kinds of things.
And I think just from personal experience, having encountered, you know, quite a bit of violence in my first 20 years of life, that sometimes the people that perpetrate violence count on our silence. Mm-hmm. You know, that certainly as, you know, as a woman who's encountered it, that you get this idea in your head that if you were to speak out that you might be in danger. Or like, you know, Sarah is saying, there may be a sort of a misguided loyalty to the perpetrator. So that really needs to be talked about, because the more we actually talk about it, the more we get it into our minds that this is not a – this is a problem. This should not be happening. But talking about it is really a big hurdle for a lot of women.
Yeah, which is what, by the way, if you're just joining us, what we're talking about on Perspectives Today, Violence Against Women, the 1 Billion Rising event that'll be taking place both worldwide and right here in Tallahassee a week from today. That is February 14th, Valentine's Day, yes, noon, at Clayman Plaza. We'll tell you some more about that in a bit. But when we say violence, by the way, 414-1234, the local number, and it's 800-926-8809 if you would like to call in. If you have a a tale to tell along this line. Someone that you know, perhaps yourself, who's been connected with some kind of a violent situation from which maybe you thought that there was no escape or that person needed rescuing from. Would love to hear that story. So give us a call here on Perspectives, if you would. But Sarah Sturgis, that doesn't necessarily have to be the guy who comes home drunk out of his mind,
right.
Kicks the dog, yells at the kids, and mops the floor with his significant other, and she's covered with bruises and bleeding
right.
all over the wall to wall. I mean, it can take other forms, right?
I mean, I think that's the common misconception, and that's what happens to women who are in situations where that's not the case, and they feel like, well, maybe it's not that bad, or I don't have bruises and bumps. Then we begin to undermine the abuse that's happening that's not like that. So, you know, abuse takes so many different forms. Abuse and violence towards women can be physical. It also can be emotional. It can be financial. It can be sexual. It can be regarding our children. Violence against women overall is an issue of power. And the power dynamics that are set up in our country are not those where women are necessarily the ones carrying the power. So I think many women who are in situations that are not who don't perceive it to be incredibly dangerous doesn't mean that violence isn't taking place in different forms in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I would, you know, definitely agree and how important it is that we educate ourselves about the different kinds of violence. You know, verbal violence is just rampant, you know, the way we speak to one another mm-hmm. and how we project our jealousy onto one another or project our anger onto one another, and then it comes through in our words, and that we really can think carefully, more carefully about how we speak to one another. In addition, you know, it's not just the physical and sexual, it's you know, mental, emotional, verbal, so many kinds of ways.
You know, one of the things you just said about jealousy, too, we've talked about before, is one of the big things that we do at Oasis Center for Women and Girls is work in the community in different schools and social service agencies with girls ages 11 to 18. And we do a Girl Circle program, which is an opportunity for girls to be able to come together for time together, to get to know each other a little bit better, to talk about the current issues that girls are dealing with. And when we talk about relationships, the issue of jealousy comes up a lot. And girls will talk mm-hmm. about jealousy as a positive thing, that if I'm talking to another guy and my boyfriend gets jealous about it, then that means he loves me. But the educational part of what we're doing is to talk to women about the fact that jealousy is not based out of love, that jealousy is one of those things that's also based out of control and out of power, and that can get really misrepresented to teenagers particularly. Mm-hmm.
I remember a line in a song from many years ago. Johnny came up and he hit him because he still loves me.
Uh-huh.
That's why. That's why it's Judy's turn to cry. 414-1234 for Perspectives. We're talking about violence against women today. Leisha Berry and Sarah Sturgis are guests right now. And your input to 414-1234, 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Yes, we are but a gentle group of folks here on Perspectives, but not all folks are quite so gentle as perhaps we are today. Violence against women, violence in general, violence against people. That's what we're talking about here on the program today with Leisha Berry and Sarah Sturgis. And, of course, your input, 2414-1234-800-926-8809, to share your stories of anything that has happened to you that you're aware of over the years in terms of violence and how that situation was handled and kind of where we are right now. Let me throw out a personal here. No one wants to be first, so we'll take the second story here. But mine relates to a young lady of my acquaintance. She is in a workplace situation, and she can count at least once or twice a week that her supervisor is going to drag her, not physically, but order her into her office. It is a female supervisor, and start the haranguing. What do we pay you for? I told you to do so, and you didn't. Mm. And she did. All these numbers are wrong. and those are the numbers that she was given. It is a total workplace bullying situation. And, of course, the young lady is in the market now to find other employment where she can escape that situation. But is that a form of violence?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. You know, it makes me think that this boss needs to go take Cindy Bigby's nonviolent communication course, which is one of the free workshops we're offering this weekend. Or that weekend. Yeah, definitely verbal violence. I mean, I tend to think that of the kinds of violence I've encountered, that's probably been the hardest to recover from, actually. And it was at the hands of other women as well, you know, to feel that you're being cut down in such a way, you know, with the words. That's a hard thing to recover from.
Yeah, and at the Oasis Center for Women and Girls, Sarah, you do counseling with, like, middle school and high school girls. A lot of the mean girl syndrome out there that you deal with?
There is some of the mean girl syndrome out there, but I think, you know, one of the things that as an adult looking back on high school time that, you know, I've certainly become aware of is that everyone who's dishing out the mean feels the same thing. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the women and the girls who we work with aren't the ones who are claiming to be the mean girls, but to have the effect from that. But every girl who dishes out that kind of talk to other girls feels the same emotions of the sadness and the hurt and the frustration when people mm-hmm. speak to them that way. Mm-hmm. We all feel that emotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another form of violence, again, that this does not necessarily have to be a physical kind of thing. Which, okay. Calls coming in here, folks. Thank you very much. Sarah's on line one, joining us on Perspectives. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, this is Sarah. I'd just like to make a comment. When I was in a violent situation with a boyfriend, I came to the conclusion that I was enabling him to behave that way by staying with him. I'm not saying it was my fault for him to be abusive to me, but I knew I had to get out so that he could not act that way towards me anymore.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I just took that responsibility on myself to not letting him abuse me anymore by being in the situation.
Well, violence absolutely becomes a cyclical pattern between two people, and there is a cycle of violence that can just go around and around again. So, Sarah, I think it's super wise of you to be aware of the part that you may play in that, and it sounds like a very healthy decision on your part to remove yourself from that situation. I do hope that you won't consider yourself at fault or to blame for that situation, but it sounds like a very healthy decision on your part to leave.
Mm-hmm. And I think she raises a great point. The kind of violence that I encountered was, you know, childhood, sexual, physical, verbal. And then a stranger broke into our house when I was 12 with a gun and held us all at gunpoint. So he's in jail for rape and attempted murder. So I have definitely encountered the feeling of I'm going to let this kill me. I'm going to lay on the ground and let this thing that's happening to me determine, you know, the end of my life. But there was a decision like what Sarah's talking about, which is, wait a minute, I have a decision to make here. I have a choice to make here. And the choice to pull oneself together after violence is a choice of resilience and strength. And that's what I want to focus on. And that's what this, you know, the whole event is about is taking that power back and making decisions that are self-responsible and, you know, looking at where we are enabling someone to treat us unfairly and unkindly and perhaps even violently and to say no more, absolutely not, to choose to live.
And Sarah, if you're still on the line, what's your situation now?
I'm married and I have a wonderful husband and I have two children, two teenagers, and we have a very loving family.
That's wonderful.
I made decisions to better myself and to surround myself with people that care about me.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I am so happy for you. Thanks so much for sharing that, Sarah. See, there is hope. You can get beyond that because I'm sure that we have all seen women. Men too, but women who keep repeating the past, mm-hmm. who keep falling into situations where they are abused over and over and over and over again. How do you break that cycle?
It's a decision. I mean, for me, you know, it came to the point that I just didn't want to be on the planet anymore and really hit bottom. And the decision to, you know, really, am I going to really do this? Am I really going to end this? Or am I going to fight back? And something clicking inside that just lit a fire in me. And, you know, seeking help, this is, you know, ages ago. I started my recovery process 26 years ago, but seeking a therapist and seeking a women's group and seeking, you know, resources in the community that I could pull into my process as team members to help, you know, heal myself and pull myself back together. And, you know, all these years later, I've gone through these stages of victim to survivor to thriver to server, and now really an empowered server, somebody who really feels the strength and confidence underneath her feet to be able to assist other women and people, you know, to change the world for the positive, but only from that moment of decision, right? You know, to make good out of the junk, you know, to make compost.
Yeah, you have to hit that internal switch there somewhere. It goes, okay, we're going in this direction now.
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah, and Sarah Sturgis, how do you, I guess, deal with the situation of when you're counseling women and girls over there at the Oasis Center for Women and Girls, getting them to look at themselves as perhaps more worthwhile, more
Absolutely.
Precious, more valuable than they did before, so that they can hit that internal switch.
Right, right. Well, for starters, I'll tell you that the groups that we do with the middle and high school girls are aimed at trying to instill some of those beliefs before we get into a later situation, you know, before we are more grown up and entrenched in that pattern that feels like continual violence again and again. But I mean, I think that, you know, at Oasis, our philosophy is working with strengths-based counseling. And the purpose of strengths-based counseling is to continually remind people of the strengths that they do have. And everyone still has strengths, even in a horrible situation. And so, but it often takes other people to point that out for you. There are a lot of services in this community to deal with women who have been victims of violence and need support. Refuge House has a 24-hour hotline that everyone needs to know about. The number is 681-2111, and there is always someone there 24 hours a day on the phone who will talk to someone. And so if you're in a situation where you feel like you really need to reach out for help to be able to talk to someone who can help talk you through the situation, they are always there. There is Legal Services of North Florida. There is a Domestic Violence Coordinating Council. There are services out there. And one of the things that we do at Oasis that's so wonderful is offer a sliding fee scale counseling that's based on income. And if your income is none, then we're prepared to work with that too. And so getting services is a valuable start.
Okay. And if you can't remember phone numbers, there's always 211 Big Bend, because they are sort of like the clearinghouse for all these different kinds of resources that are available and throughout the entire North Florida area right there. I can hear this. And Alicia Berry, we were talking about this out in the lobby before we came on today, where you will have primarily we're talking about violence against women here, but where you will have a man who says, you know, I don't want to tell anyone because, again, it's a violation of the machismo code, and, you know, guys will laugh at me. I can't even call the cops because, oh, yeah, right, uh-huh, she beat you up. Yeah, sure, buddy. But I need help, too. I need to overcome my propensity for being abused. Mm-hmm. And it happens to guys, too. So mm-hmm. What do they do?
Same. That it's still just a decision to make something stop. If something isn't working for you in your life and you're feeling like you are broken, it is time to do something to change your life, no matter if you are a woman or a man, or, you know, hopefully children have somebody they can go and talk to too if they're encountering violence in their lives. I would love to see a world where there is no violence against anyone. Our event is, you know, geared towards women because that's, you know, I'm in a woman's body, so I happen to be very close to that myself. But this is – my feeling is that if we end violence against women, we actually will end violence against everyone.
Yeah, we're fighting some awful, awful strong instincts though here, aren't we?
Well, we are. I think – let me backtrack for just a second too and say that for someone – you're talking about the man who doesn't feel comfortable calling the police, and I think those are absolute realities. Then events like this one that's happening is a way in which people could remain more anonymous, could attend an empowerment-based event that might spur someone to be able to make a decision to make a change or to think that life could look different for them in a way that's not quite as overt, maybe as calling the cops or that kind of thing. There are those events that are around this community.
Yeah, and the operative phrase here maybe being nice guys don't have to finish last. at least in this in this set of circumstances.
In fact, I was really excited to see that we on the Facebook event page, we had a gentleman who's going to be bringing his daughters. I was just thrilled to see that a father bringing his daughter. That's awesome. We have lots of men coming. Wonderful men coming.
Yeah, and another daddy-daughter dance type event, you know?
Right. You know, I wanted to say something about resilience and, you know, people who've been abused, and I think maybe women in particular, because, you know, we're socialized to stay quiet and sort of, you know, think of ourselves as broken, that there is this wonderful Japanese art of, I'm going to see, I hope I pronounce this right, kintsugi, which is, it means golden journey or golden joinery. Golden joinery is what that means. And it's the art of taking a broken Japanese tea bowl and putting it back together by flowing gold dust with resin into the cracks to make it, you know, whole again and usable again. But the idea of that is that broken is actually more beautiful because you're seeing these unique scars and, you know, places where it was cracked and it's healed. And I love that as a metaphor for people who have encountered violence. And women, you know, because we tend to internalize this idea that there's something wrong with us so easily. And I just think that's baloney and that we need to see ourselves, no matter what's happened to us, as gorgeous and resilient and strong and courageous. And this event is all about reflecting that back.
Ah, and also fixing tea bowls.
And you can bring your tea bowl if you want.
Yeah, I got a couple actually need some repair. Hey, you're listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM, Violence Against Women, and the upcoming 1 Billion Rising event, which will take place a week from today at noon at Clayman Plaza, downtown Tallahassee. Hundreds, perhaps thousands of people will be there. It'll be exciting. 414-1234 is the number to call, and that's the number that Frank called. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how are you?
Real fine. Thank you, sir.
I just wanted to tell a story. I met an elderly couple that had been together, married for almost 50 years, and the gentleman told the story that when they first met, he asked his prospective wife, what would she do if he went upside her head? And she asked him how long he could stay awake. And he said that they have never had any problems since.
It sounds like they reached an accommodation there, Frank.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just, you know, you have to have the right attitude.
That is a great, great story. But there you have, again, at least there was communication on a pre-violence level. Now, I'm not sure exactly how much facetiousness was built into,
right,
you know, his original comment there. But yeah, I guess whatever works. George has also given us a call here on Perspectives. Hi, George.
Hey, good morning, Tom, and Happy New Year to you, because I haven't talked to you for a while. And, you know, this is a good program, and I think it's something that both guys and women have to be concerned about. What I wanted to ask is, I'm hoping that the Violence Against Women's Act gets passed.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are a few people that are trying to have it voted down because it is covering other types of violence against other people. And that concerns me because, you know, as you know, Tom, I'm visually impaired with a dog, but that doesn't mean I wouldn't be subject to violence.
No, boy, that's for sure. And as a matter of fact, George, that wouldn't that tend to make you a little bit more vulnerable in the sense that something could happen and literally you would not see it coming?
That's right. That's right. You know, that could happen because somebody could sneak behind you or, you know, be at your front door or whatever, and you have to be very aware of what's around. And even if you are, that doesn't mean that something can't happen.
Yeah, boy, that's and good hearing from you, George. Was wondering where the heck you work.
I'm around, and, you know, I'm glad that you have these ladies on to discuss this because, you know, I know that FSU has good services for women as well. I think they have a Center for Women's Concerns or something out here. You're probably just as familiar with it, if not more than I am.
Yeah, and they also have a lot of things available, even for workplace situation, a great EAP or employee assistance program and all that.
I have worked with Mary Willis, and I forgot. Is it Mary Willis? I can't.
Mary White.
I remember, of course, not being a female, I know that Mary had called me about something one time because I was facing a possible eviction, and I called one of the outstanding women who is a very good friend of mine that we all know, Michelle Ray Winkle Vasalinda, and she jumped on it. And Mary called me from EAP and said, you know, if you need us, we'll help. And fortunately, before that could happen, there is an organization at FSU called the Orthodox Christian Fellowship. And I know I'm getting off the subject here a little bit, but one of the members went to Father Rob O'Loughlin, who is the priest over there, and his wife, Joy, and you guys, Sarah and Miss Beery, you may know her because she does a lot of things in the community.
Yeah, well, good. Another resource there, and good idea there, George. Thanks for bringing that up. And again, good to hear from you again.
All right.
One of the things that you just mentioned is the EAP program, and I want to say just real quickly that the Leon County Commission on the Status of Women and Girls has only been together for maybe 18 months, a commission that was voted in from the county, and it was to look at the issues of women and girls in Leon County in particular. So last year in 2012, we produced a report, a 157-page report on what are the current issues of women and girls in Leon County. And after that report that was released, I believe maybe last October or November, now we are looking at solving some of the things that the report unearthed. And so making sure that all of the companies have violence against women policies is something that will be taking place in the next year.
414-1234, the number to call for Perspectives, 800-926-8809. And Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address. We continue our chat about violence against women and the upcoming 1 Billion Rising event. We'll be right back. Back on Perspectives, the Violence Against Women Awareness Raising event called 1 Billion Rising will take place 1 week and 20 minutes from right now. That'll be noon on February 14th, Valentine's Day, at Tallahassee's Clayman Plaza downtown, with women and men not only rising but dancing.
Yes.
It will be a grand and glorious cavalcade of just, you know, insane body movement, which is what will happen if I try to dance, because you guys don't want to see me dance. Anyway, and a lot of folks involved with this, Alicia Beery. Tell us about some of the folks who are helping to make this all possible.
Oh, indeed. I've had the most amazing and generous support from co-sponsors in the community. I want to give a shout-out to Rumbles Office Equipment Solutions, Unite Women Tallahassee, Oasis Center for Women and Girls, of course, PACE Center for Girls, the Big Bend Homeless Coalition, the Family Tree Community Center, Your Life Expressions, PFLAG Tallahassee, United Church on the East Side, Tallahassee Now, and the F Word at FSU, as well as several individual contributors. Just want to thank everyone so much for all the support and encouragement. We couldn't do it without you.
For helping make it possible. Yeah. Going into the break, we were thinking, oh, gee, let's see, what stones remain unturned? And one of them might be, you know, cultural influences in this whole culture of violence, and particularly violence against women that we're talking about here primarily. And something just, as a previous caller said, smacked me upside the head. And that has to do with our celebrity obsession that we all have right now, and, you know, our love of reality shows and, you know, the Kardashians do Dallas and, you know, all this other stuff that we're just so entranced with. And I'm thinking what just happened with Chris Brown and Rihanna. Rihanna went back with Chris Brown, her abuser. bounced her off the wall, and there was he was arrested and all this sort of thing. But here we have celebrities that are looked up to by many, many young people. And what kind of modeling is this doing? Sarah Sturgis, you deal with this all the time. What's going on here?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think what's going on here is what any woman would tell you coming out of an abusive relationship with someone who they were in love with also, is that it's hard to overlook the love piece. It's hard to overlook that you have a connection with someone, and that that piece is stuck there. But like Sarah, the caller from earlier, that doesn't mean that it's a healthy situation. And so making a decision to be in a healthy relationship, in a relationship that is that mutually supportive, people can be supportive of each other, is way more valuable. So the message that it gives the young people is scary and dangerous, because I'm not sure how much talk there is about change and about what may look different in this relationship now if they're going to resume the relationship. And
yeah, they're back together again, and I'm just thinking, oh, well, then if you love him, it's okay.
Well, loving him doesn't, you know, that isn't what makes it okay for sure.
And I think we need to disentangle the word love, you know, from that idea of, you know, that means that he can do whatever he wants to.
Right.
That's a very warped concept of love in my book. I think love, true love, is very life affirming, and that it's about safety and respect and trust and truth. And if that's not there, then I would not call that love.
Absolutely. Well, you know, before we were also talking about the culture that surrounds us, and I think that the culture that we have set up for men in this country says that men have to be strong and powerful and the breadwinners and are responsible for supporting the family. It's not a culture that sets up a relationship of mutual respect. And so I like what you're saying of pulling the love out of it and separating that. I know that as the mother of a 9-year-old boy, it frustrates me that our community, that we socialize boys to be strong and powerful and to not be okay with feeling emotions. It frustrates me that we don't want boys to cry, that we don't want boys to apologize for their behavior, that that we don't expect from our young men things that I believe that we need to be expecting from them. And culturally, this is what we see.
Well, and that's basic emotional literacy, you know, that we're teaching out of them. And training out of them, and for girls to get that message too, to see, you know, that this is what boys are supposed to be, and this is what I'm supposed to be, you know, submissive and quiet and sweet and good and polite, and to compete, you know, for the boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's this never ending cycle of violence, you know, in our own minds. And there's a war going on in our own heads, you know, trying to just discern how do we even know what healthy looks like if we can't even see it in our role models.
Right. Absolutely.
And that I don't mean necessarily celebrities. I mean in our parents, in our teachers, in our, you know, local media, you know, we want to see examples, and that's what we train ourselves on. You know, we need to see that modeled.
One of the videos that's come out, and I believe that it's in connection with One Billion Rising, although I could be wrong on that. And I know that we can't see on National Public Radio, but I would encourage all the listeners to Google, to get on YouTube and look at the Man Prayer. That video, is that in connection with One Billion
there
Rising?
There is one in connection with One Billion
and
Rising.
And it is beautiful, and a beautiful example of the way that things could look if we would shift our vision for what our expectations are for our young people.
Mm-hmm.
No, it looks like we're going to have to shift expectations across a pretty wide swath of territory here, because this, as the One Billion Rising event certainly points out, this is nearly universal. You look at some other cultures, you know, not just, you know, the celebrity obsessed and very materialistic, you know, American culture that we live in, where it's violence takes one form. But you look at perhaps the machismo of some of the, you know, the Latin cultures, and again, where the men are supposed to dominate the household and tell the women what to do and all. Mm-hmm. And then you take it to its illogical extreme, and you're into some Middle Eastern cultures, which are oppressive to the point that most of us cannot even begin to fathom.
Right. Right.
And so this is across the board.
It is. And something that really grabbed my heart and just never let me go was the recent event in India, the gang rape of the young woman who eventually died as a result of her injuries. And, you know, it went around on Facebook and it went around on the social media sites. And, you know, we got to see a picture of this beautiful young woman, just a shining light, and, you know, to hear what was done to her. And that this is just something that happens every day, you know, all over the world. This kind of thing happens every day. But there was something about seeing her and the way that it grabbed the attention of the world that was really galvanizing for me. And it is pervasive. It is global. It is something that has to change, and it does require a huge swath, as you said, of effort. But I find that the only thing I can do as a human being is to change myself, and that if I start there, that emanates outward, and that here I am 26 years into my recovery process, and I'm in this one little woman doing this one little thing, and I'm connecting with so many amazing people through this effort, and it is changing Tallahassee. There is something going on. What will happen after, I don't know, but you know, we are bringing awareness and attention to this just from the decision that this has got to stop.
Let's connect with Robin. She's given us a call here on Perspectives. Hi, Robin.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to first say thanks to Leisha and to Sarah for their tremendous work in the community. They really do such good things, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Hi, Robin.
Hi.
Hey, Robin.
I wanted to mention something, though, that's going on at a national level that I know that you talked about briefly, which is the Federal Violence Against Women Act reauthorization that has unfortunately fallen prey to partisan politics, which is as many years as we've all been involved in this, I think we can agree that violence against women is not a partisan issue. Mm-hmm. And it's really disturbing to see what's going on at the national level. Mm-hmm. We have two senators. Bill Nelson voted for it, is actually a co-sponsor of the Violence Against Women Act as it's being moving forward in the Senate. And unfortunately, our other senator, Marco Rubio, has voted to block it, one of eight senators to block its passage. And it's been stuck in the – actually was stuck in the House last year. So I just wanted to kind of put my two cents in and make a plea for partisan unity around the bill that passed out of the Senate last year, and that we work hard to make sure that all victims of violence are protected. And mm-hmm. in this particular bill, it's extending additional protections, of course, to Native American victims, to victims who are immigrants, and to victims in the LGBT community. So so that's my plea. If people wanted to take some action, that's one of the things they could do, is talk to our own Representative Sutherland, too, who has not been supportive in the past of VAWA's reauthorization.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, and thank you for the input on that, Robin. Appreciate it. And certainly, folks with the incredible reach of the Internet right now, if you want to find out some more about even the current wording of the Violence Against Women Act, NPR has been covering it pretty extensively, too. But go online. Find out what it says, please. Instead of listening to all the pundits who say this is, you know, an evil thing and it's going to destroy society, or that it will automatically solve all of our problems and the birds will sing and the sky will be blue, and, you know, please find out for yourself just exactly what is in this stuff before you decide to be for it or against it. Enough editorializing from me, certainly. Workshops, you were talking about
yes.
that, Leisha Berry. What's coming up in connection with the 1 Billion Rising and dance event?
Well, the grand vision was that, you know, we would have this wonderful dance. And then I started to think about, you know, okay, so we get everybody fired up. We have this great, you know, energy. And then nothing? No, we need to do something with this, all this energy, all this, you know, awareness that we're raising. And so I asked some women in the community to step forward to offer free workshops for women. We have got an entire range of things happening starting Thursday night, which is the 14th, with A Taste of Nonviolent Communication with Cindy Bigby. I'm going to be reading from my book, Soul Compost, on Friday night at Unity Eastside Church at 7 p.m., and that's a book about my personal experience of my resilience. Junie McCauley is going to be doing a workshop on compassion fatigue, Let the Healing Begin, which is a wonderful thing for those of us who are getting a little worn out about being a caretaker and how to take care of ourselves better. I'm going to be holding a collage workshop on Saturday. We're going to have Discover Your Essence with Sarah Marchesol. We have Intro to Belly Dancing. We have Write Your Way Home with Vicky Spray. We have Assertiveness Training with LeMay Devane. We have a Pilates workshop with Diane Arnold at Leap Training. And then there's a burlesque show Saturday night, actually. I'm kind of excited to check that out. I've never been to one of those before. But all of these events, all the details are on our Facebook event page. And the Facebook event page, you know, web address is very complex to say. So I'm just going to say the easiest way to get to our information is to go to the onebillionrising.org website and then look for the Tallahassee event, and that will take you directly to the link to the Facebook event page. And it has all the details about these workshops. It has, you know, they're all free, but you do need to register for the workshop so that the instructor knows that you're coming and can prepare, you know, with supplies and that sort of thing. And it also has all of our updates. You know, we have daily updates. For example, we have some very exciting news. The county is issuing a proclamation that February 14th is 1 Billion Rising Day in Leon County. We're going to be accepting the proclamation on February 12th at the commissioner's meeting, and we're just very excited that the county has just leapt on board that way. We've gotten a lot of lovely news coverage. We're very grateful to be here, of course, with you, Tom, and we're waiting to hear from the mayor's office. We think we're going to have a mayoral proclamation as well. So we're really seeing Tallahassee rally around this
event. Yeah, big spread in the Chronicle, all that kind of thing.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. For Oasis Center for Women and Girls, Sarah, what's ahead? How does this kind of continue since you guys have been pushing, you know, along this line?
Right. Well, and many people may not know that Oasis Center for Women and Girls is a women's center in Tallahassee that deals with general life issues for women. And so I want to specifically say that the agency in town that deals with domestic and sexual violence issues really is Refuge House. They are the expert on the issue. But one of the things that we find at Oasis is that you can't work with women and girls with the stats as high as they are without dealing with issues of domestic and sexual violence as well. So that's something that we're certainly well-versed in as well. But Oasis offers a number of different services to women and to girls in the community. And along with the sliding fee scale counseling program, which I can't emphasize enough because it is an opportunity to get one-on-one counseling for sliding fee scale based on income. We also have a single mom support group that meet once a week and has free childcare during the time of the meeting. You can't offer services for single moms without offering mm-hmm. services for kids as well. We have a summer camp program called Girls Can Do Anything Summer Camp, and it's an empowerment program for girls during the summer for ages 5 to 15. And this is an opportunity for girls to begin the vision in a different way. This is an opportunity for girls to see things differently and get a different cultural experience. So we make certain that girls are exposed to what the powerful women in this community are doing. So we take them downtown into judges' chambers and into the commission offices, and we run them to the fire department with Chief Cindy Dick, and we run them all around town showing them what women are doing and shows them that girls can do anything. Oasis also does a number of community events. We'll be having a celebration for Women's History Month that will be coming up on March 28th. We do what's called a trailblazer luncheon, where we like to honor women in the community who are trailblazers, you know, paving the path for women, the first to do all kinds of different things in our local community. And we do a celebration in connection with Pace Center for Girls in the fall. That's an overall celebration of women that supports women in all different venues of such as art and dance and music and mm-hmm. spoken word.
For violence to continue and for powerlessness to thrive, isolation is an important mm-hmm. part of the whole component. And what I'm hearing from both of you is we got to bust down those walls that mm-hmm. create the isolation. You are not in this alone.
Absolutely.
There are people to help. There are folks to talk to. Get out there and hit that switch and change things. Right, Alicia? Yep.
Absolutely. Just get up and start moving.
Okay.
Go find somebody you can talk to. And I'd like to add that, you know, beyond this event, you know, the hope is that this is going to turn on a lot of lights, you know, in Tallahassee and Leon County, and that there are so many organizations that offer services, and that for people who may not feel, you know, a connection to organizations. There are also private folks out there who are doing women's empowerment work and women's leadership work, myself included. And we are really looking at how to reach those young women, the high school and the college age young women. And I'm so glad Oasis is doing the work with the girls too, and PACE as well. So we just got to bring the awareness in there.
Yeah, because the numbers, Sarah, that you brought, now this was the Liz Claiborne survey. We've used that a whole bunch in just in news coverage here. One in four teens reported feeling pressure to date, and 14% said they would do almost anything to keep a boyfriend or girlfriend. That's more than one in 10. I'll do whatever it takes.
I think what's even more startling than that is the stat here that says that almost half of teens who have been in a relationship say that they have done something that compromised their own values in order to please their partner. So one of the things that Leisha and Oasis and PACE and the other agencies in the community are working to do is to show young women in this community that it's about loving ourselves and giving to ourselves and being whole and right within ourselves before getting involved in a relationship, so that we don't then compromise our values and compromise what we need.
There's this wonderful song that was written as an anthem for 1 Billion Rising called Break the Chain. And one of the lines is, "This is my body. My body is holy." One of my favorites.
Great way to end out the program. Leisha Berry, thanks so much.
We'll
see you with 1 Billion Rising a week and 2 minutes from right now at Tallahassee Clayman Plaza. And Sarah Sturgis, thanks for coming in too.
Thanks so much.
Perspective is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the phones and emails today. Really appreciate your joining us. I'm Tom Flanagan. We'll catch you again next week. More expert opinion and your phone calls, of course, right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.